street.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you stayed in Rome for a while before you came home.
Just 3 days, because these people were living in Rome at that time. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, we've lived here quite a while, and we'd like to have you show us some of the places, some of the art galleries. We've been here for some months, and we haven't been around very much yet.
Uh-huh. Oh, you were showing Italy.
I was showing Italy to them.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, I'm sure you and Donald did a lot of exploring in spite of the heavy workload of seeing as much as you could.
We took weekends
mm-hmm.
very often.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to all the little art places.
Uh-huh.
Like Ravenna. And,
well, you saw the beautiful mosaic there in
oh,
Ravenna.
Yeah.
Oh, so beautiful.
And I was going to say that on our way, on my way over there, I stopped in Amsterdam because I wanted to get some pictures of the war memorial that he had finished.
Now, when was that finished? I have a picture of that that I took with Donald working on the model out here in the garden. The head with the hair, great.
No, that's
the
summer
one?
Rain. No, this is quite a bit larger than that. It's 12 feet tall.
I see.
And
this head is bigger than my size that I was working on, that picture.
Well, that picture was photographed in Florence.
Well, is that how I got it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Don must have sent it then.
Mm-hmm.
And the head is bigger, and it has these great, almost snake-like hair that goes about the face.
Well,
was that the war memorial? It was a very large.
No, this one is the Angel of Peace.
Angel of Peace.
The two big
wings.
That was
the war memorial.
Yes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And how tall was that?
That's 12 feet tall.
Yes. Was that the third trip, or what trip was that? That was the second trip.
Mm-hmm.
And how long did you spend in Italy at that time?
About a year.
About a year. I remember you were gone for quite a while. And now, what city is that in?
Well, it is in a cemetery outside of a little town called Henri Chapelle.
Mm-hmm.
And Henri Chapelle is, well, it's in the extreme northeastern part of Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not too far from Aachen in Germany.
Oh, no way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And there are two cemeteries for the Battle of the Bulge dead. One of them is in Holland, and the other one is in Belgium.
The same culprit?
No, the cemetery.
Oh, I see.
Cemetery. They didn't have
mm-hmm.
enough land. There were so many men killed in that battle. And but I had never been able to get any good pictures. The War Memorial Commission had sent us a set of 5 or 6 pictures, but they were very ordinary and not very
mm-hmm,
well done.
Mm-hmm.
So I took 2 cameras over there, and I had made contact with a protege of Donald. He had studied with Donald somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
He was really a student. And he was working with Donald at the time the war started with Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And they took him over there to Hochstone and Arizona in that concentration camp. And later on he went into the army, and he fought in North Africa and all the way up into Italy, where he was wounded. Badly wounded, and he was taken to Paris in a hospital there. And he was living in Holland at that time with his Dutch wife.
Mm. Now, was this man a sculptor too?
Oh, very much.
And what was his name again?
His name was Shinkichi Tajiri, Tajira.
Uh-huh.
And
he was from Holland.
Well, he was Japanese.
Oh, I see. I misunderstood you. Yes.
He was picked up with all the rest of the Japanese and taken over to the concentration camp.
I see.
And then he went into the army, and he was in France for a while, and but Holland became his native mm-hmm. country. Anyway, his children were born there, and they've mm-hmm. grown up there.
Mm-hmm.
But I wrote to him and told him that I would like very much to take pictures of the war memorial when I came over next time. And he wrote right back, said, "Well, be my guest and mm-hmm. come to our house and stay there as long as you want."
Right.
And he said, "I'll take you down there."
Mm-hmm.
It's about 60 miles from this little town. And so we went down, and I one camera had color pictures, and the other had black and white, and I shot pictures of them.
That's always been a thing you've done a lot of, and very beautifully. Yeah, I mean, you really like that as an art form, don't you?
Well, it became necessary because uh-huh. of the only way we could get the kind of pictures we wanted.
I see.
We could take them ourselves. We'd hire a professional photographer,
uh-huh.
and we wouldn't get the kind of pictures we wanted.
Uh-huh.
They would make something that looked arty.
Oh, yes. I always liked that that interview that you gave for the Historical Society, and you quoted Donald saying, "Stone should be carved in the full, ever-changing sunlight possible in our climate. By cold analysis, anyone can discover that a form intended to be viewed in an outdoor light should be created under identical circumstances. Carved in the direction the sculpture is intended to face." So that was your job when you took pictures, is to take that type of picture
mm-hmm.
that as the sun was.
Well, they were record pictures.
Yes.
They
uh-huh,
weren't
record.
Art pictures.
No, they were record pictures. But didn't Donald do most of his work here outside?
A great deal.
Yes,
of, great
I
deal
remember,
of
you know, from time to time when we would be
mm-hmm.
here, that I would see such work.
There
well, that must have been a very exciting time for you. Now, you couldn't think of any high points in your life, but to me, you've had quite a few high points. Seemed quite fascinating. Now, this beautiful, great big piece that I remember that Mr. Wirtz has, that piece is still in San Diego over there on Cypress Street, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it is.
And then Betty Slappy has a beautiful piece.
Yeah, that's the Nawal in Moonlight.
Yes.
The man and the cat sort of dancing
yes.
together.
Don't we have a picture of that here sometimes?
No.
No, we don't. We don't have
it. I don't think there's one.
We have this one of Mrs. Payne, The West Wind,
yes.
the Rosewood piece, which is the piece that we were
yes.
started talking about in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have I wanted to talk about this from the Day of the Judases.
This is the one that's in Oshkosh.
Oh, I see.
The bronze, it's 3 feet, 36 inches tall, which uh-huh. She's seated. She would be a
but she point. Does have a bowl in her hand.
Yes, but it's not that's
it's
not
an
olla
like no. the one in the park at the House of mm-hmm. Hospitality.
And this one's connected up to so.
And now this was his first commissioned work, right? Is that what you were saying, Mrs.
Mm-hmm.
Payne?
No,
that
no,
was.
She had. Well, I guess you would say it was
uh-huh.
the first commission.
Yes.
Because the rest of them, why she had. She'd indicated that she wanted a figure, and I remember in one case. He made a small sketch. Now, I think that was probably this one.
I see.
I think that was the first commission.
Oh, I see. Rather than the seated figure
mm-hmm.
of the lady with the bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Now, this is rosewood, however.
Yes.
And the other was bronze.
Bronze. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know, because that was the first time you went to have anything cast in bronze. That was his
mm-hmm.
first casting?
That was the first thing that cast.
I see.
Beyond the time when we cast small figures in
mm-hmm.
Santa Barbara, when we were going to art school
there.
I
see. So you both went to art school at the same time then up there?
And Donald went up there for two semesters, and I went up to the second semester. He was there.
Mm-hmm. And that's where you learned bronze casting. That
mm-hmm.
was the main objective.
That was our idea. We were going to have our own foundry here in San Diego, and Donald would do the modeling, and I would do all of the casting.
I see.
And the Depression came along then at that time, and we weren't able to get the equipment to take to set up even a small foundry.
Mm-hmm.
And so
you continued in stone, then, as I remember.
We found this black diorite up here at Hoops Canyon near Escondido. And it was very fine. And then we had to learn how to carve stone. It wasn't like marble or limestone. You had to take a hammer chisel and carve it out.
Uh-huh.
You had to use pneumatic tools.
I see.
And it took us several years to feel our way till we got so we could carve it fairly well.
Well, now the piece that's out in the garden still, and its title is Morning?
Morning.
Morning. Is that diorite or the stone?
No, diorite.
It's a diorite, uh-huh.
The first diorite was the Aztec at State College.
Oh, yes. I remember sitting by that many times and eating my sack lunch when I was going to state.
And the second one was the Little Rest on the Flat End of Egypt.
I see. Uh-huh. And that one you still have.
Yes.
How many pieces of Donald do you still have?
Well, we have right here that in the house that we have as a Morning, Rest on the Flat End of Egypt, and the marble, Primavera. And the bronze, Summer Rain.
That's not many left.
No. And we have a couple of the other, you know, the bronzes were done in, most of them, the important ones were made in edition of three.
Oh, I see.
So we have one of the descending sun in bronze and two of the summer rain.
Oh, you do have two of summer rain.
We have one here and there's one of them in Dr. Wells' house.
I see.
But he's just keeping it there.
Uh-huh.
Giving it a home. He doesn't tell anybody that it isn't his.
Uh-huh. Well, summer rain, do I have a picture of that? No, I don't. Was it Harvest Spirit? Was that one of the late ones, Harvest Spirit?
No,
52.
No,
uh-huh. There was one that you spoke of in, which apparently Donald was working on, and you two were working away on it before he died, and it was being ready for casting, and the hand, the foundry called you and said that the hand had broken off and he was very upset about it. And
no, that was, we were working on the plaster.
Oh, I see.
And our San Diego plaster man, somehow or other, in the casting of it, he lost a hand.
Which one was this now?
Well, that was the last bronze.
I don't have a picture of that,
no,
do I?
No.
Uh-huh.
But,
what happened?
Oh, this fellow was fit to be tied. He ruined the thing. Well, no, there's no worry about it. Just put a glob of plaster on there and reinforce it, and I'll carve it back.
Hmm.
And he did.
Uh-huh. So the did he ever see the finished product?
Oh no, he went in. Well, he saw it in finished plaster.
Yes, but I mean he died before
he died.
It was finished.
Oh, yeah.
So you had the full responsibility of that one.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you. Now we've been talking somewhat about the bronzes. Is there anything? Do you know anything more about the bronzes? We've touched the four times of casting in Italy, and all of your wood things would not be done outside, would they? They'd be done inside, couldn't they?
They were done inside,
yes,
because you didn't want the sun beating down on them.
I remember Donald was doing...
And they were easy to move, you see.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it's raining and so on. So
uh-huh.
We used to have a bench under those two windows. We just put a short half window, and the bench was there, and down there a number of his wood carvings right there.
Was the light, apparently the light was to his pleasure.
Well, he had Yeah, the artificial light.
Uh-huh. But I remember then when you built the studio on here, and we used to come for the play readings, remember, mm-hmm. we used the studio, and he was working on a piece then, and he was using very grotesque masks at the back of it. And I remember in another interview that you gave someone else, you said that he didn't like to talk about art. And I thought, my, I was very fortunate, because I remember when we came early to that play meeting, mm-hmm. and Donald was still working on it. The two of you were still filing and scraping and doing all these interesting things to it. It looked very finished to me, but oh no. I said to you something about it's finished, and you said, oh no. So how could you say such a thing? But he did speak about that mask. Mm-hmm. He said, he felt that perhaps...
He used masks in a number of pieces.
That's what I wanted you to talk about, with some the masks, and I see there's a magnificent mask up here. Mm-hmm. That was an early piece, wasn't it?
That was done in 1932.
Yeah.
And he did two masks at that time, and...
Now, is that wood?
That's mahogany.
Mahogany. It almost looks like bronze. It's so highly polished.
Yes.
Now, is that was something that you would have done? You would have worked on the polishing and the finishing off?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you were working with Donald at that time?
Mm-hmm.
You had?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you would be working, would Donald do a pencil sketch, or would he do a model sketch in clay first?
No, he never did that.
How did he go about it with the wood? Now we're speaking.
Very often he would take a small piece of paper, maybe the back of an envelope, and make a little sketch with a pencil,
mm-hmm.
and then never refer to it. He said, all I want to do is to sort of set the thing in my mind,
mm-hmm.
and then he would go ahead and carve.
Mm-hmm.
And very often, even with the things of this nature, he would mark it with a colored crayon, generally a red crayon.
And that's where you came in.
And then I would saw things out like that, cut those things out, and he knew exactly where to put those red marks, and I knew just where I should have to stop.
How would you know the depth that you had to go?
He was generally there at the time.
Uh-huh.
And very often, rough spots there, I would take either a large chisel or a hatchet,
mm-hmm.
and rough that part out.
I see.
And then all the refining was under his personal work all
uh-huh.
the time until it got to the end. Then the smoothing up and polishing stone, polishing the rosewood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He did a number of things in rosewood, and the beginning of the war, it wasn't possible to get any rosewood in San Diego. And so a few pieces that they had at the Sullivan Hardwood, we used and went back for more and said, we don't have any more.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, what else do you have? Well, we had some lignum by then, and they had a whole great big bin full of logs about 48 to 54 inches long.
Isn't that even harder than rosewood?
It's about the same.
Uh-huh.
And so we bought quite a large number of those and carved lignum vitae for all through the war.
Mm-hmm. But he did find some rosewood down in Mexico, and I remember one. And got it up here somehow by hook
or
crook.
There was a fisherman who's dead now, but he had his office in Los Angeles, and he always came back once a year,
mm-hmm.
but not the fish.
Mm-hmm.
He sold his fish down somewhere, maybe in a cannery in Mexico, but anyhow, he was kept very busy.
Mm-hmm.
When he came up empty, but he didn't like the empty boat, which looked like a cork. So he would take a load of rosewood and bring it up to the United States. He sold some of it in San Diego. Donald always took a number of pieces.
Uh-huh.
Select his own pieces and
uh-huh.
then bring them out here. By the time he's dead, we had about a dozen or more rosewood logs.
Do you still have them?
No, he sold them.
Uh-huh. I know one of our young furniture designers, Sterling King, uses wood, rosewood, and he says it's very hard to find today, even.
Well, they had to bootleg it out of Mexico.
Oh, really?
It was legal to bring it to the United States, but it was against the law to take it out of Mexico.
I see, and he just used it as ballast, conveniently.
That's what it was.
Uh-huh.
And he would have it in the place where the jungle was near the coast, and they would drag these logs out with a burrow and load them on the ship.
What is a rosewood related to? What other hardwood?
I don't know.
You don't know. It's not rosebush.
No, it's simply that when you're working the wood, especially when you were sanding it or have the dust in the air, why the air becomes very fragrant.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. That's why it's called rosewood. Mm-hmm.
And it also makes a nice incense. We save those filings often, build them up in little pyramids, you know, and light the top of them, and it burns just like incense.
Whoa.
Quite fragrant.
So with all this furnishing that's so oriental and beautiful, and you had an oriental fragrance also. And delightful. Well, this piece I see, was this one that is not a very good reproduction that I had here?
No,
the Viracocha. And what is this up here? Is that the one with the snake?
No. He has over his shoulder a corn stalk, and this is the wild rice that goes in the swamps up there.
That's Harvest Spirit that finished in 1951.
Mm-hmm. This is just a twisted form, like a cloud or something.
Well, do you remember that one that he was working on? And we when we had the one of the last play reading groups, we were, and Florence had arranged so that we'd all have stools to sit on as we read the part. And I remember the piece was just behind where I was sitting, and Donald and I had talked about it. And he was talking about this very grotesque mask. And I've been trying to find that one. Do you know, is it in that book?
Well, there are two of them.
See, that was in process. And in progress.
This one has several masks.
Uh-huh.
That has
that
three or
piece.
Four masks.
It was a piece, and I think there was a, was there a rooster or something in connection with it? Was that the Judas one?
No, that's the Judas one, but that, those are puppets on that.
Oh, I
and,
see.
The rooster is a puppet.
Oh, here.
Yeah.
No, that wasn't it because as I remember, it was a full-length figure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the one with the rooster, and there's
mm-hmm.
a mask there.
Yes.
And another mask here.
Yes.
And that might have been the one.
We're working. Was the whole thing blocked out first, and then starting cutting down into the details, or didn't? How did you?
Well,
you
he knew exactly what he wanted.
Uh-huh.
He could see the figure in there. He
uh-huh.
would explain it to me, and I could vaguely figure it out. But he could actually see the figure right in it.
Yes, I remember in reading Michelangelo's words of Michelangelo, and he said when he sees a piece of stone, he sees the figure inside the piece of stone, and all he has to do, he modestly said, was to bring it out. Bring it out of hiding
mm-hmm.
in behind this, you see. And I think Donald had that same type of
mm-hmm.
vision, didn't he? He saw within the form, the rough form.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you were saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one time, in a sort of a joking way, why he said there's nothing to it. All you do is take away the parts you don't want, and what's left is your statue.
That's wonderful.
That isn't the way he worked.
Nothing to it, huh? Oh, it takes great vision. But in this one where the rooster is, in the Judases, I was trying to figure out why the rooster was there. Have you any idea? Or was it because the rooster was to crow and Peter was to, Christ had said, you will deny me three times before the rooster crows. And Judas had given him away, and I often wondered, is that why the rooster was there?
I really don't know.
Did Donald know his biblical material that well?
He knew pretty well what was in the Bible.
Uh-huh, he did.
Mm-hmm. He was interested in this literature.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't very Christian, I
no,
guess.
No, but he did know the Bible as literature,
very well.
Very well. Uh-huh. And, but then to his Mexican Indian motifs, and I noticed in one thing he declared himself a Southwestern American sculptor.
Well,
and in so doing, I mean, he...
I think he, somebody else dubbed that on him.
Oh, they did, I see. Because there's a lot that is not Southwest, too.
But what he did do was to symbolize the elements and the seasons and anything relating to the Southwest.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Most of the things were that way, but mm-hmm. of course it's not.
No, that's Oriental.
Mm-hmm.
But he was. And, oh, another thing. In reading over this material, why wasn't San Diego Library mentioned, one of those magnificent pieces that he did to the library?
Well, Donald was never very proud of those.
Is that why it was not mentioned in that catalog?
Well, it probably helped.
Uh-huh.
And he had a contract with this fellow who had done some casting for us a number of years ago. He was a Los Angeles man. Very excellent caster.
Mm-hmm.
But Donald, he talked over the work of casting that, and Donald said he wanted it in a very hard medium, harder
mm-hmm.
than just plain old concrete.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And he wanted the fine ground diorite included in there, so that beyond the surface, and it could be ground and smoothed down absolutely perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And he went ahead and cast it. And when they were done, Odom found out that all he'd done is put a little lamp black in the cement.
Oh.
And Donald was very disappointed in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't look as if it has been carved.
I see. Hmm. So those pieces are not stone, they're cement.
It's concrete.
Concrete. Had you done it before anything in concrete?
Yeah, it's around the basin of the Guardian of Water down there on the waterfront.
On the Civic Center. In the Civic Center.
And the inner basin has fishes, dolphins, and squid,
mm-hmm.
and other things.
Mm-hmm.
Bonita.
Mm-hmm.
And those were cast. The whole ring was cast, and Donald carved it in the plaster. It wasn't modeled.
Oh, I see.
And Mr. Little.
Then Mr. Little was responsible for the concrete work for the fountain, which Donald found very satisfactory and to his liking. The method he used was the fine ground granite.
Fine little bits of granite had been through a sieve, so there would be no big ones coming
mm-hmm.
through. And he put those in there by hand.
Hmm.
And then he would back it with the plain, ordinary concrete, you see.
Mm-hmm.
All they needed was about half, three-quarters of an inch. And then they were set and put together. Now.
Mm-hmm. Did Melissa Jewell do the mosaic work?
Yes, she...
But it was Donald's design, was it not?
It was Donald's design.
Mm-hmm.
And
you would see, her husband was Foster Jewell, wasn't
Foster
he?
Jewell.
And then later she married Dan Dickey.
Yes.
So she had two great artists in her life.
Foster Jewell is still alive.
He is?
Mm-hmm.
And
he's 85 or
he
60.
He is? Is
so
he still living over in Arizona?
No, he's been up there at Venice, California.
See. Uh-huh. Because I remember once over in Arizona, we took a trip over there, and we went to a museum. I can't remember whether it was Taos or where it was. And I saw a lot. I saw a lot of his work. This in particular was a sculpture done in the mesquite wood. Fascinating. and very beautifully polished and finished, but I understand that he also has done a lot of painting and is equally well known for his painting and for his sculpture. Zorak and Mestrovich were the two great sculptures that were included.